Popular Front presents Skeleton Key, a monthly report on contemporary far-right militancy all over the world. Only at patreon.com/popularfront. Today we're speaking to researcher and historian Andrew Pallella. He's going to be talking about the National Socialist Order, a neo-Nazi militant group that was spawned after Atomwaffen Division and is now known as the NSO-9A. Speaking about the NSO-9A, which is a very convoluted kind of side faction, if you like, of an already, well, previously existing neo-Nazi militant group. But I think first to understand what the NSO-9A is, we need to understand what the NSO is. A lot of people kind of zoned out after the Atomwaffen kerfuffle, all of that madness, and don't realise that it then basically became the National Socialist Order, the NSO. So can you kind of start us there where, like, Atomwaffen ended and then became NSO?
Yeah, I think that's definitely the right place to start with this story. So like anybody who follows the Atomwaffen Division debacle knows that the series of arrests in February 2020 kind of, you know, decapitated the group. And then in March 2020, Atomwaffen Division was disbanded by James Mason. Shortly thereafter, the American Futurist goes online, which calls itself kind of like the publishing arm of the inheritors of the Atomwaffen Division ideology. And they specifically say that they're not associated with any neo-Nazi group. Right after that, then the NSO, the National Socialist Order, is formed either by or with a guy named Ryan Arthur, who goes by the name Ryan A.W. on American Futurist. And he's a leftover from the Atomwaffen Division. He attended the 2019 Nuclear Congress in Las Vegas, Nevada. The NSO describes itself as kind of dedicated to the total Aryan victory ideology of Atomwaffen Division. They're not super active. They do, like, you know, they put out some propaganda. They have a website. They do a couple pamphleteering campaigns. They were actually active in my city in March of 2020, putting up flyers on local businesses. And then in late December 2021, the American Futurist announces the National Socialist Order on their website, and they publish an article called The Satanist Question, in which they loudly decry the Order of Nine Angles as kind of like a subversive, parasitic, defiance of nature and an FBI psyop. And this is all in relation to the revelations in August 2021 that Joshua Caleb Sutter had been an FBI informant with the Temple of Blood that had infiltrated Atomwaffen Division. So if we kind of understand the National Socialist Order as the inheritors of Atomwaffen Division, we can then kind of look at the National Socialist Order of Nine Angles as, you know, an esoteric Satanist coup in the National Socialist Order, essentially, in late 2022.
Yeah, and for anyone that isn't aware, surely they will be at this stage, but for anyone that isn't aware, maybe let's just briefly go over again who James Mason is and then who Joshua Sutter is.
Yeah, okay. So James Mason is one of the most prolific, I would call him a neo-Nazi theorist in the United States. So he was a member of the American Nazi Party in like the 60s and 70s. I don't know if he founded or if he joined the National Socialist Resistance Front, but in the late 70s, he was active with the NSRF. And then from 1980 to 1986, he wrote this newsletter for the National Socialist Resistance Front called Siege, where he lays out his ideology about, Aryan victory in Western civilization, leaderless resistance against the system. He talks about, quote unquote, the system as a way to look at the American government occupied by Israel. It's where we kind of get this trope of Zionist occupied government. And then in 1992, he was approached to compile all of his newsletters from Siege into what is now, Siege, the collected writings of James Mason. And so the first edition was published in like 92. There was a second edition in 1993, a third edition somewhere in like 2018. And then the fourth and fifth editions were written by James Mason for the fourth edition for Atomwaffen Division. The fifth edition was for the American Futurist. And each edition kind of comes with appendices and a new introduction where James Mason kind of blesses off the newest movement amongst the neo-Nazi accelerationist right. And then what's so interesting about this quote-unquote unofficial 666th edition of Siege is it was published by the National Socialist Order of Nine Angles, which I guess we'll talk about a little bit later in 2022, and they've been selling it online. And the 666th edition kind of blends the traditional siege-pilled accelerationism of James Mason with satanic neo-Nazism of the Order of Nine Angles, but with a slightly different flavor.
Right. And just to backpedal again a little bit, talking about James Mason, anyone that isn't fully aware, so this, as you explained, he's basically like granddaddy neo-Nazi theorist. He's this guy that didn't really have any relevance in his younger days. He was a kind of angry man, died in the wool, attached to the bigger neo-Nazi movements in America back in the day. Then his writings, as you said, get like refound. But this guy was also mixing in some very weird circles back in the day. For example, he was a friend of Charles Manson. He was friendly with Satanists, and we're not talking satanic panic shit. We're talking real Satanists. Even actually Anton LaVey, which the kind of Church of Satan, the kind of mainstream Church of Satan now, which is essentially just edgy Reddit atheism. It's not really anything to do with Satan. But he, LaVey actually, you know, founded that technically, and he was actually very much friends with James Mason and hung out with people like that. They always try and, like, if you mention that, they very quickly stop arguing. Also, James Mason was friendly with Boyd Rice, or Non, the I'm not a Nazi, neo-Nazi industrial musician. Well, I think he agrees. Like, he's like, yeah, I'm a fascist. He's just, I think maybe it's honest when he says he's not a neo-Nazi. He just has a different version of fascism that he believes in, not necessarily National Socialism. Both of these fellas were involved with abusing underage girls, even out and often themselves in their own private messages that we found on their Discord, have openly talked about how Mason is like a complete paedophile, kind of openly talks about young girls all the time. Very fucked up stuff. There's other weird convictions that Mason got where, you know, he'll tell people he attacked this group of like black youths. In reality, he pepper sprayed a young black girl from a car. Like, the guy's a fucking weirdo. But as you said, he is very influential in that world, and basically Siege offered the kind of blueprint for Atomwaffen's, what I would kind of say was like the start of this lone wolf neo-Nazi accelerationist ideology as a bigger movement, which sounds ironic, but that's kind of how it became. So yeah, I mean, James Mason is a very serious person when it comes to this. Without Mason, there would be no Atomwaffen, there would be no several people dead because of them. But Atomwaffen, as we know, collapsed because of various things happening. They got raided. Their leader got sent to prison twice. Some of their members killed people. And then James Mason was kind of stuck without a crowd. But there is a guy known as Ryan AF, he's known. Ryan AWD, he's known as Ryan Atomwaffen Division. Ironically enough, he's like a white supremacist who is half Mexican. But that's not so unusual, believe it or not. But anyway, so he's the kind of guy that started up NSO, if I'm not mistaken. Like, he kind of made sure at least there were like the kind of embers of Atomwaffen became NSO. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. And he's also a frequent contributor to the American Futurist as well. So the American Futurist says, you know, hey, we're not affiliated with any group. Yet the overlap between the NSO founded by Ryan AW and the American Futurists, the Venn diagram is nearly a circle, which is pretty interesting.
And what is the American Futurist? I think it's like .xyz was the last URL I saw of theirs. I keep getting thrown off various fucking hosting sites. But yeah, for anyone that don't know, what is the American Futurist?
Yeah, it's the publishing arm of the inheritors of the Atomwaffen Division movement. They claim, again, not affiliated with any group. They're just there to publish any affiliated ideologies. I believe Cameron Denton is active. He writes under the name Vincent Snyder. And so they have this new this new project called well, The American Futurist, The Futurist Manifesto, and it's essentially their conception of what will come next after the collapse of Western society. And it's this very kind of neo-fascist, racialist state that, you know, praises traditional gender roles, traditional roles in society, like fascist modern art. It's a very strange collection of ideologies. But I think it's the neo-Nazi right's first attempt to really articulate what comes after the racial holy war, or the day of the rope. You know, like what comes after they rape the system is the futurist state is their vision. So the American Futurist is, yeah, the publishing arm that's kind of dedicated to putting that message out there. They also publish, they publish pretty much anything affiliated with non-satanic neo-Nazi groups. And we can get into the National Socialist, like how they announced the National Socialist Order, how the American Futurist spoke for the National Socialist Order and said the National Socialist Order is dead once the NSO-9A basically couped the NSO. So it's pretty interesting to see the way the American Futurist says they're not affiliated with any group, but then they also speak for these groups.
Mm. Well, anyone listening, it's getting complicated because there's all these funny groups. But again, just to make it simple, so Atomwaffen Division, they kind of have to disband, have to die out because their leader, their first leader, Brandon Russell, got sent to prison, and then various other members got sent to prison, and then they got designated a terrorist group by various different governments. And they were responsible for several murders. So the heat is on. Then their second leader, who you just mentioned, Cameron Denton, alias Rape, he got jailed as well for like a swatting incident and all this other neo-Nazi bullshit he was up to. But they brought out the American Futurist before Atomwaffen kind of rebranded as the National Socialist Order. The American Futurist is, no matter what they say, is basically the propaganda and mouthpiece of anything to do with the remaining members of Atomwaffen Division / National Socialist Order. And it's worth as well noting that Rape, or Cameron Denton, who became the de facto leader after the original leader got sent to prison for making bombs in his basement, no less, he was very involved with real Satanism and occultism and the Order of Nine Angles, which is the neo-Nazi occult movement that I'm sure you're all aware of now if you listen to Popular Front. So he was already involved with all this dark shit, right? I didn't know Cameron Denton was actually out of prison, though. How long has he been out?
That I'm not sure. I'm sorry.
No, it's got to be a while, I guess, actually. Now I'm looking at it. He got like 5 years, and that was, so that would have been half. So yeah, he's probably been out for a little while, actually. Anyway. Yeah,
and he's been posting with the American Futurist under the name Vincent Snyder since at least April 2020. And he's credited with writing the short history of the National Socialist Liberation Front that you can get on that website, as well as The Futurist State, which is The Futurist Manifesto of the American Futurist. He's deeply involved with the American Futurist and the post-Atomwaffen Division ideological project.
Right, and the National Socialist Liberation Front was another old neo-Nazi militant group that James Mason was associated with. So what's James Mason's role in the National Socialist Order?
That's a great question because, well, now he doesn't have a role, and we can get into that. Mm. So he kind of remained the, like you said, the neo-Nazi granddaddy of the National Socialist Order. But around, let me check my notes. Around 2022, a rift started occurring between the National Socialist Order and James Mason. He was accused of sleeping with a member of the NSO's wife, which is kind of par for the course of a guy that's, you know, really so shitty. There were some disputes over Ryan Arthur not publishing enough of James Mason's writings on the American Futurist. And eventually the American Futurist, National Socialist Order came out and said, "Hey, James Mason is experiencing a cognitive decline. We're cutting ties with James Mason." But before then, I think it's important to go over basically the National Socialist Order of Nine Angles coup that occurred. So it is okay if we go into that now?
Yeah, well, one second. Are you saying James Mason This guy is like 80. He fucked one of the wives of the National Socialist Order.
He's accused of it, yeah.
How? What the fuck?
I don't know. I really don't know. Is this the first you've heard of it?
I didn't know that I heard of this, but I thought it was the old group years ago. I got my wires crossed. I didn't know that this was recent. So that means, I mean, most of the other members are like normal age, like, or like middle age, like, well, less than. They're like late 20s, early 30s. So that's got to be, unless there's a particularly old member we don't know about, that's a weird situation. It would make sense, though, considering he's like a kind of open pedo.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I've got the document in front of me. On October 30th, 2022, the American Futurist published an article called James Mason, The Fall. And they said that this statement has been many months in the making. I'm trying to find exactly where they accuse him of. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so here we go. They're discussing in 2022 the disputes between Ryan Arthur and the National Socialist Order. So that kind of dates these events in 2022. And then they write, a few weeks after this dispute, we face another issue regarding James. He was having an affair with the wife of an NS man who had been his friend for 30 years. Okay, so maybe it wasn't a National Socialist Order member, but it was somebody who was still involved in the movement, and he had an affair with this guy's wife in 2022. Okay, so yeah, an NSO guy.
Still though, I mean, it's all the same crowd there. That is wild though. I mean, imagine getting cucked by like James fucking Mason. I think I'd have to end things, I'll be honest with you.
End things with yourself or with your relationship?
With myself, without a doubt. Like, as in, like, ending, like, my mortality, I think. So, James Mason, this is the thing where a lot of people, I think, get wrong. They have this idea that it was only a few people that brought the Order of Nine Angles stuff into the Atomwaffen division, and that James Mason wasn't really about that satanic life. But as we know, as I kind of hinted at earlier, he has a lifetime associated with occultism. And I think he was way more keen on the O9A stuff that was being celebrated by Atomwaffen division in the kind of second stage of their sprees. Russell went to prison.
I agree. And I'd like to jump in here if that's okay, because I have a pretty interesting piece of evidence that goes back to the 1990s that supports that James Mason may have been more involved, or at least, favorable towards the O9A stuff. In my first edition of Siege from 1992, it's a signed edition, and I can't remember off the top of my head who he dedicated it to. But he writes, signed James Mason, you know how the Order of Nine Angles uses that dating system where it's the year of Fayin or the year of fire? And it's basically year zero is 1889.
Yeah, well, the year zero is when Hitler was born, right?
Yeah, exactly. So James Mason signs and dates this book, YF, as the dating scheme after his signature. And I've not seen really any of the other neo-Nazi groups using that year of Fayin type dating convention, but the Order of Nine Angles has used that since the 1970s. And so, it's not necessarily conclusive evidence, but I think it's, a pretty interesting correlation.
That is really interesting and something I hadn't heard about. So explain again, he signed something off using the Order of Nine Angles year syntax, which only they use that. Only they use that. They basically invented that way of doing things.
That's correct.
Yeah. So which year is it that he wrote this?
It's 1992. So let me pull out my calculator.
1992.
Yep.
Wow. And Order of Nine Angles has been around since the 70s. They would claim decades before, but no, not true. That is fascinating. So, and who was it? Who was it he signed this off for?
I don't recall off the top of my head. Okay. I don't have it in front of me. But yeah, he signs it James Mason year 103 YF, which basically means 103 years after the year of Fayin, which is the year of rejoicing in the Order of Nine Angles, syntax. And that refers to 1889 as like the birth of the O9A calendar.
That's super interesting. There you go. I hadn't heard that at all before. Like, that is really interesting. So Order of Nine Angles is kind of, at least, let's say, at least basic occultism. But from that revelation, it looks like Order of Nine Angles has been in the background to some degree for Mason. And it was always in the background. Well, it was brought to the forefront when Denton and codename Chimera, I always forget his name, but anyway, basically those two, like, they're like best bros. They're the ones that brought all the O9A shit into Atom Waffen Division, to the point where O9A books were compulsory reading for new members. Like, openly they would say that on their website. So the NSO kind of really stepped back away from the occult stuff, in my opinion, to kind of make peace, or at least try and make friends with the, like, more traditional Nazi stuff. So how did then NSO become NSO9A?
You mentioned a good point. The NSO immediately tries to rebrand itself as a non-satanic sect of the neo-Nazi extreme right. And they published this article called The Satanic Question, which they, you know, decry O9A as subversive and against nature. And so that was December 2021. And then, so I think all the while the NSO still had, you know, the esoteric satanic neo-Nazis in their midst. And so in September 6, 2022 is where the NSO9A coup occurs. They launched their own website, which is identical to the NSO's website. And they declare the NSO to be the NSO9A. They call this article is called The Rebirth. And in the text of that rebirth, they claim that they have three or four members. And I think one of the members is the webmaster of the NSO's website. Because like I said, the websites are completely identical. They use the same structure, layout, font, colors, images, except the NSO9A one now has had a satanic bent. And so that's basically how the coup occurs. And two of the three or four original members of the National Socialist Order of Nine Angles claim that they're the ones that also helped get the fifth edition of Siege written and published by the American Futurist. So the entire time, the American Futurist, the National Socialist Order, had been still infiltrated with the esoteric, satanic neo-Nazis that adhere to the sort of Order of Nine Angles cosmology. And that's why they did this coup. And so literally the day after the NSO9A announces itself, the American Futurist publishes an article saying, breaking ties with the National Socialist Order, we are no longer involved with the group. And furthermore, they say the American Futurist says the National Socialist Order is dead. So here's another really interesting piece of evidence is that, you know, the entire time American Futurist has been saying we're not affiliated with the group. We only publish writings by groups that we sort of agree with. And then here in September 2022, the American Futurist is speaking for the National Socialist Order. And so I think that allows us as researchers or historians to look at or to consider the American Futurist and the National Socialist Order to be very similar, if not essentially one and the same.
Yeah, definitely, without a doubt. When I first saw this, I thought like it was either a prank or a joke or just like some wayward weirdo in the movement. But it's been a while since I watched them. But if I'm not mistaken, James Mason himself went on camera and made a video basically endorsing the NSO9A.
No, you've got that a little bit backwards, actually.
Okay, so
there's a video where he's doing an interview, I think, with Bob Larson, and Bob Larson is saying, "Have you heard of this Order of Nine Angles?" And James Mason says, "Like, yeah, I've heard of it. It's pretty racialist, pretty extreme." And there's a guy in the background of that video kind of like whispering in Granddaddy Neo-Nazi's ear, kind of like talking points. And that guy in the background, we think, is one of the founders of the National Socialist Order of Nine Angles. And I think that because in the introduction to the 666th edition of Siege, the guy who put it together basically said, you can see me in the background of this video, like priming James Mason on what talking points to say about the Order of Nine Angles. And then shortly thereafter, James Mason has this Odyssey website page where he, I forget what they call it on Siege Culture, but it's like Walking with James. It's like got some stupid series title like that. And he makes a video saying that, you know, this of all the editions of Siege over the years, I've never denounced a single one, but this 666th edition is satanic. and it's a Jewish federal psyop. This is the federal edition. This is not an official edition. So he comes out very strongly against this edition and against the National Socialist Order of Nine Angles. However, inside the 666 edition of Siege, the National Socialist Order of Nine Angles has an essay about the history of James Mason and Satanism, where they get into his involvement with Anton LaVey. So it's tough to tell who to trust. I mean, there's, you know, there's James Mason, who clearly always has an agenda, saying, I've never been a part of it. This is satanic. I don't like it. It's a, you know, it's against nature. It's anti-Christian. And then you have the NSO9A talking about, no, James Mason has always been interested in this satanic stuff. And then again, I've got my copy of Siege from 1992, where he signed it using the 09A dating convention. So there's a lot of muddied evidence. But in my personal opinion and my interpretation, I'm leaning towards James Mason has always been at least somewhat predisposed to the, you know, occult satanic neo-Nazism. And his denouncement of the 666 edition is more of him trying to save face with the kind of more hardline the hardline neo-Nazis in order to maintain his relevance in the movement.
I bet he's getting the royalty checks from that issue as well.
We'll see. Who knows?
Yeah, I'd be very surprised if he's not. So what's the latest on James Mason? Obviously, the Atomwaffen Division remnants / NSO / American Futurist, they have said that, basically implying he has dementia now and he's off his rocker. What's the latest on James Mason? What do we know?
So I don't really know what he's up to currently, aside from making these videos. I think they're called Walking with James, on his website, which, you know, if any listener is interested, they can find it linked from the new Siege Culture website. So he's still kind of involved in the Siege Culture project. But I think there's one more development in the whole NSO, NSO9A, American Futurist coup that we should talk about. So right after the American Futurist said they're breaking ties with the NSO, after the NSO was essentially couped by the NSO9A, 5 days later, the American Futurist announces the founding of a new group called the National Socialist Resistance Front, NSRF. Again, as like the re-inheritor of the non-satanic, non-09A leftovers from the NSO. They have the same exact program as Atomwaffen Division and NSO, but they start hinting that they're an anti-movementarian movement now, or anti-movementarian ideology. So they're basically saying, they're starting to prep the groundwork to say James Mason is no longer welcome in our movement. And then about a month and a half after American Futurists announced the National Socialist Resistance Front is when they publish this article, James Mason, the Fall, and they officially break ties with James Mason. The American Futurist and NSRF say, we still adhere to Siege culture. Siege is still a foundational text and theory of our movement, but we're no longer dogmatic, and we no longer kind of kowtow to somebody like James Mason as a figurehead. So that was pretty interesting to see. So yeah, James Mason has kind of been sidelined by the people that kind of brought him out of obscurity. And so that kind of leads me back to why James Mason may have denounced the 666 edition of Siege by the NSO9A, is I think he's trying to curry favor with the non-satanic neo-Nazi sects in order to maintain relevance in his old age.
Yeah, so the National Socialist, the new one, the NSRF, they're... National Socialist Resistance Front, is it right to say they are, if NSO was the last dying embers of Atomwaffen Division, the NSRF is the last dying embers of NSO. It's like the collapse of a collapse.
Yeah. You could say the NSRF is, you know, like the, yeah, the, not even like the embers, it's just the ashes of Atomwaffen Division. Yeah,
just the ashes.
I mean, they're just dead. I mean, they've not done anything. You know, they've posted their program on the American Futurist, but to my knowledge, they've done nothing in real life. They haven't even made videos. They haven't put up flyers. So it's really ironic. I mean, they, you know, the National Socialist Order of Nine Angles denounced both James Mason and David Myatt as well as kind of like, you know, gray-haired do-nothings, has-beens. And so now we are the real, you know, the real satanic, real-life, you know, doers, propaganda of the deed. NSRF does the same exact thing. They say James Mason, he's old, he's a has-been, he's a movementarian, he's out. Yet the ashes of Adam Waffen Division that are the NSRF also are do-nothings. So I don't know, it's pretty lame. It's interesting, but it's very lame.
So Joshua Sutter, who was the leader of Temple of Blood, particularly violent and gross Nexion of the Order of Nine Angles in the US, and was involved with Atom Waffen. He was also a member of Atom Waffen, a very high-ranking member. Also happened to be a police, federal police informant, an FBI informant. He was instrumental in bringing down Atom Waffen Division. Now, there's some confusion about his role. Some people literally think he doesn't even believe in all this shit, and he was like trained up to do this. That's not true. If you look at his history, he very much believes in this shit and all of his weird esoteric occult stuff. But a long time ago, he got in trouble with the feds, and they basically said, look, you give us some information when we need it on this, that, and the other, and you become useful when we need you, and we'll give you money. And it kind of allowed him to live out his little far-right occultist fantasy, and the FBI kind of turned a blind eye as long as he gave the right information on the right people when they needed it. And basically, I think they put him to work within AWD. Now, he's already been back online. He has rebranded his... So he used to run Martinet Press, which was the... propaganda and book publishing wing of Temple of Blood, funded by the FBI, pretty much. Yeah, crazy shit. So he's tried to come back with his new publishing house, Agonies Point Press. Now, I got sick of his bullshit. Like, he started off being very against O9A stuff when he had his new account. Few of us figured out who it was, and then all of a sudden he did a 180 and became really pro O9A again, especially like 764 stuff, the really brutal O9A inspired child abuse cults online. And so I have a feeling he was like, you know, he was a honeypotting again. So all that to say, he's vanished again, because like one day I just saw his shit. I was like, fuck this. This is who he is. Because he was pulling in people that were not necessarily that extreme. And I could see it again happening. And I was like, fuck it. This is who this is. And he deleted all his profile. I mean, obvious what happened. But he is still active online. So all that is to say, like, do you think then that Sutter is at all involved in the NSO9A? Or do you think it's someone separate?
I've not seen any evidence to support his involvement in the NSO9A. And I'll give, you know, I've not seen any direct evidence. Furthermore, it's interesting when looking at, you know, the Temple of Blood, you know, their version, you know, vampirism, their version or interpretation of O9A ideology, O9A ideology itself. As I'm sure you're familiar, I mean, what they call the Labyrinthos Mythologicus is, you know, some 10,000 pages, and it seems extremely bizarre, and it's done on purpose, and it is extremely bizarre. But for the most part, O9A's core cosmology is tied up pretty well. I mean, David Myatt is such a weirdo that he has spent decades making this very tightly knit esoteric tradition and ideology in the Order of Nine Angles. The Temple of Bloods is somewhat similarly tightly knit and, you know, logical if you're able to adopt that mindset and that perspective, whereas the NSO9A's interpretation of traditional Satanism and the O9A ideology is just really dumb, to be honest. It does not have the same level of like tight-knitness, if that makes any sense at all. The NSO9A's reinterpretation of O9A ideology is just kind of scattershot, and in my interpretation, way more edgelordism rather than any sort of like attempt to make it like a concrete esoteric tradition. And so all that's to say is, no, I don't think Josh Sutter is involved with the NSO9A. But it is interesting to note that in 2021, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and National Counterterrorism Center wrote a scope note basically saying that O9A ideology is playing a very influential role in these racially motivated violent extremist groups, and that it has a splintering effect almost everywhere it goes. So then there is this other idea that is is the modern reincarnation of O9A ideology truly just 100% a federal psyop in order to fracture these neo-Nazi groups? I don't agree with that, but a lot of people, a lot of documents that I've seen that have been produced by groups inside the, you know, the quote unquote Siege Pill network, do cite this as evidence that like O9A ideology is always a federal psyop, citing both the scope note and Joshua Caleb Sutter's involvement in the Adam Waffen Division. And then sure enough, I mean, the National Socialist Order of Nine Angles and Satanism again, you know, rears its ugly head and fractures the National Socialist Order. So there is something to be said about the divisiveness of O9A ideology inside the neo-Nazi right.
Yeah, that is true. But I think it's the idea of it being this huge federal plot is a bit of a paper tiger. It's simply not true. I mean, it's very clearly not true. Like, as you will know, if you've done the proper research, it's clearly not true. However, it has attracted people that can easily be put in positions where they then have to become informants or go to prison. That is something that happens. That's kind of a 101, especially if you're looking at like counterintelligence or stuff like that. There are agencies that will go, right, this group is full of people that promote murder. There's that one. So this one there is, you know, we know that he's a paedophile or whatever. We catch him. Okay, now, do you want to go to prison or do you want to help us? You can stay a part of this fucking thing, whatever. But when we ask for the info or the access to your server, whatever, we need it. Okay, fine, that happens. And that's how it happens. And then it gets blown up, usually by these kind of well-meaning but often very excited kind of podcasts that go into everything as a psyop type stuff. And they then just kind of connect the dots, and without going, oh, this is how this happened, they go, oh, actually all the dots connect back to the FBI. It's a big FBI plot. That's not how it happened. That's not how the O9A started. But certainly any group like that will... If I was a cop or whatever, and someone's like, right, you got to find out who's planning things, I'm going to go, right, which groups are openly talking about committing murder? I mean, the idea of the O9A is like, you know, they want to bring about the end of the world. They want to bring on Imperium, as they call it. If there's degeneracy and all of this stuff, everybody is kind of desensitize, and you know, it helps hasten all of this mad shit. So it's like, yeah, if you look at that, you're gonna go, okay, I think those guys are pretty fucking mad. Let's see who we can pick apart. And I think unfortunately a lot of the really important granular nuances and details of these groups get lost by people going, ah, it's all a federal plot. And I know people have like criticized me of being like, oh, why aren't you just saying it's all federal plot? I mean, the feds, we've very openly been like, yeah, Caleb's Joshua Sutter is a complete fucking federal informant. There's loads of people like that. There's even some belief that David Meyer himself might actually be like a police informant here in the UK. Quite possible, but he didn't start all of this shit because of that. The basis is actually something they really believe in and still believe in to this day. That said, what do you think the NSO9A is actually going to do? What have they done so far? And what makes them different from, like, you know, O9A now, normal O9A?
Yeah, so as a historian, I'm not really in the business of predicting the future. So I don't think I can really comment on what I think they're going to do. That being said, I do, like I said earlier, I do think that they're kind of more edgelords rather than, you know, attempting some sort of like global science fiction geopolitical project the way David Myatt and O9A thinks he is. You know, you mentioned the Imperium, the idea that that adherence to O9A is going to bring about an intergalactic empire is essentially the end state of the Order of Nine Angles ideology. And it's, you know, some pretty bizarre sounding science fiction. I've got a very long article coming out soon in the Journal for the Study of Radicalism called Toward the Galactic Imperium. And the Galactic Imperium is the goal of the Order of Nine Angles. So the goal of the National Socialist Order of Nine Angles, they don't really have one. They just say that from nuclear... So their whole theory is that if we transgress society, much like ONA, if we transgress society and we worship, you know, we worship this thing called Sadisticum and Daemon Krieg, that theistic national socialist Satanism will eventually bring about a nuclear winter. And they claim Mother Nature is fascist. And so from the nuclear winter will arise a new race of, you know, nuclear adept fallout people. I mean, it's very bizarre, you know, just the way David Myatt kind of borrows from science fiction. It seems like the NSO9A guys are kind of borrowing from maybe video games and, you know, some more recent fiction. Mm-hmm. But just the idea that they can, that this 3 or 4 person cell can transgress society enough to the point that, you know, the world engages in a thermonuclear conflict that will be survived by evolved, you know, post-nuclear satanic national socialists is just really kind of absurd. So, you know, I think that they're a little bit less serious than the nationals or than the Order of Nine Angles, to be honest. But that doesn't mean that the ideology doesn't count for anything. And it doesn't mean that it's not, you know, dangerous or any sort of threat in society. I mean, we know for a fact that one of the members of the NSO9A is a convicted pedophile. So right off the bat, we know that their ideology hurts people. And so that's actually one of my issues with a lot of people. Some journalists, not yourself, other ones and other social scientists and researchers kind of say that, oh, the Order of Nine Angles is really just kind of a whole LARP. It's really online. It doesn't hurt any people. I completely disagree with that. I mean, just because they're not, you know, blowing up federal buildings or, you know, collapsing the World Trade Center, that doesn't mean that they're not dangerous. They kill people. They teach other people to rape. They teach other, you know, they teach their adherents to, you know, abuse children. There's a lot of people, too, that say, no, 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 like culling and murder and the abuse of children. It's all fiction. It's not real. It's just part of this whole sinister jape or joking that's part of the Order of Nine Angles ideology. And I completely disagree with that. I think it's all serious. And I think it's all intended. So, you know, even though that these ideologies aren't necessarily extremely widespread and don't have a huge impact on society, the impacts that they do have, you know, even just with a sample size of one, is, you know, horrible and too much. And I think that's why it's worth studying and trying to figure out what these ideologies are all about.
No, definitely. And I think anyone that says all that stuff like O9A is just a LARP, they're not dangerous, either is being disingenuous, trying to be like clever, or just hasn't done the research. I think that's probably more accurate, because if you even do like surface level research on O9A, you'll find at least 5 or 6 murders in the last 7 or 8 years connected to them, directly to them. You're talking people that have literally come forward and said they've murdered people in the forest because of O9A. There's a guy that did a fucking ritual, posted it on YouTube, went out and then stabbed someone in the neck. Like, there's a load of stuff like this. I've gone over it several times on Popular Front, but because it is so wacky and like out there, people just kind of are almost scared to really focus and bring attention to it. And I think that's probably more the fault of the kind of stiff-backed circle jerk of research and journalism than it is the actual situation themselves. But not to say there isn't a lot of people doing really good work in it, yourself included. There's a lot of people that are more like aware of it now. And I think it's especially since like government started going, ha, we might have to actually fucking prescribe O9A as a terror group. People started feeling like, oh, it's okay to focus on them again. So there's definitely serious stuff going on still. I know there's like this real push by like Maya and his kind of last few cronies to make out like O9A is dead. O9A is not dead. I would argue quite the opposite. I think it's making a big resurgence, especially within 764, MKY, that kind of stuff. And I know people say, oh, well, they're not actually O9A. They don't practice the stuff. Well, they built their ideology on the basis of O9A. So, and O9A says certain, you know, you can't really put O9A in a bottle. So by their own logic, MKU, 764 are absolutely O9A. They're just different forms of it, an evolved or de-evolved form of it. So I think it's one of them ones where it's definitely going to get worse. And again, like you said, it doesn't help when there is now this National Socialist militant O9A order with a convicted paedophile in it, and it literally rose up off the back of one of the most murderous militant neo-Nazi groups in the last 10 years. It doesn't look good. Do you know what I mean when you look at it that way?
No, exactly. And I you brought up two really good things that I wanted to touch on as well. One, the fact that you cannot put 09A in a box. I mean, the whole point is, you know, one of the steps towards initiation into 09A, you know, along this sevenfold sinister path towards, you know, esoteric satanic gnosis, is forming your own Nexian and leading it and initiating others. So, I mean, 09A ideology truly is a virus. It is meant to self-replicate. And so, you know, therefore, yeah, there is this modern or this very recent development where Myatt and 09A are trying to say 09A is dead. They've put out some statements on the internet. I've seen them on Reddit and the Internet Archive, you know, declaring themselves to be deceased. But I mean, Chloe Ortega, I think, still operates the White Star Exception Nexian. You could consider the National Socialist Order of Nine Angles to be an 09A Nexian. And just because, you know, David Myatt or any of the old guard say 09A is dead doesn't mean that these independent cells essentially stop operating. So, you know, the ideology reproduces itself. I don't know if you've covered or heard of the Satanic Front down in Texas and Florida in the United
Sergeant
States.
Sergeant Manibus or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, I mean, more just kind of seemingly online losers, but, you know, the ideology is still out there and it's self-replicating. And again, they actually don't like the Order of Nine Angles. They say that they believe in Aeonic Satanism, but they also think that David Myatt is a do-nothing loser and that 09A is a has-been ideology, and so they don't adhere to it strictly, but they adhere to their own reinterpretation of it. So again, this ideology that was, you know, ginned up by David Myatt from the 1970s, the 1990s, has completely taken on a life of its own. But a moment ago, you brought up the Maniacs murder cult out of Russia. I don't know if they operate in Ukraine at all. They're, you know, I think they might be located just in Russia. But the National Socialist Order of Nine Angles claims the Maniac Murder Cult to be like one of their divisions of Satanic National Socialism. And they basically say, even though the Maniac Murder Cult doesn't necessarily adhere to our ideology, that in their actions, they embody our ideology, and therefore they are affiliated with us. And I don't know if you watched it, but a while ago, I sent you that video that I found that it's a, you know, pretty gruesome graphic video produced by the Maniacs murder cult of, you know, them beating up people and stabbing people and lighting somebody on fire. That video is chock full of the NSO9A symbol, which is the reverse swastika, the snake eating its tail, mm-hmm. and the downward facing trident. So to some degree, the Maniacs murder cult also acknowledges its, you know, cross transcontinental affiliation with the National Socialist Order of Nine Angles. And so I don't know much about the Maniacs murder cult. I hope you know more than I. Maybe you can speak a little bit about it. But yeah, so it's interesting to see the way this, you know, truly virulent ideology self-replicates, changes, mutates, self-replicates again. And I think that's the true problem with the 09A ideology, is that it just continues to grow and change.
No, totally. That's exactly the issue. I mean, it's probably a bad example, but for example, like if you believe in Jesus and whatever, Jesus didn't come out day one and go, hey, this is Catholicism or whatever, or this is Protestantism, whatever. It eventually, based on all the ideals, it became this one and that one. It's the same thing, like, you know, and you don't say that, oh, well, because they don't follow to the T 09A original teachings from 1991, they therefore can't be 09A. Well, based on your teachings alone, you can't say that. So they kind of shot themselves in the foot with that one. In terms of like the MKY or MKU, the Maniac Murder Cult, this is basically this group of Russian kind of what I call like ultra sadism and like psychotic violence lovers, if you like. And a lot of people say, well, they are not 09A. They don't really know about 09A. They just use the iconography, which they often do in their videos, because 09A represents kind of sociopathic murder for the sake of celebrating the degradation of norms and celebrating taboos. Now, that's not true that they just use the ideology, the iconography, because the ideology of what I've just said is literally a main source of where groups like this get their motivation from. If O9A didn't preach this degradation of society, empowering and embracing the most disgusting taboos, even paedophiles, then these groups wouldn't use their logos to express what they believe in. It's a really stupid understanding of subcultures and iconography to just go, well, they just use the logos just because they're like O9A is like evil. Well, yeah, that's just the fucking bat signal for the actual group that its ideas are evil. That's why they selected that bat signal, if you know what I'm saying. Like, it's such a bizarre argument. It falls apart immediately when people say they're just using the iconography. And O9A will say, oh, well, they don't know like the initial rituals, they don't know this. Some of them do, man, trust me, they do, because I've seen it in their chats. I've seen it. They're doing the correct levels of self-harm that they do to themselves as a part of their worship to the old gods and all of this fucking bullshit. I'm getting the terms wrong, but you know what I'm talking about. So yeah, some of them really do. Okay, some of them are just in it because it's edgy, but if it wasn't all about evil, then it wouldn't be edgy. So it kind of perpetuates itself. That said, these groups are growing still, you know, like even in ideologically, like they start at one base, but now they have other things, you know, it's kind of out of control.
Yeah. And to get back to your point about, just saying that, oh, they just simply use the same ideology, that doesn't mean affiliation. Yeah, I completely agree with what you said, that it's very important to understand, you know, for myself as an academic, the way symbology is very important. I mean, we talk about internet memes and their jokes that we share with one another, but the idea of a meme as a package of information that communicates a message to the viewer, the repetition of symbology and the recycling of symbols and the cross-referencing of symbols amongst particularly what you could call like the Siege Pilled network, you know, born out of Iron March, they, you know, that sort of moved into the whole Terrorgram networks as well. The way that they repackage, reuse, and recycle symbols from one another is their way of communicating ideological solidarity and allegiances. Even if, say, the MKY guys aren't coming over to the United States and hanging out with the NSO9A guys, the fact that they're repeating one another's ideology is how they're signaling to their members and to people outside the network that this is a network. It is not separate groups, separate ideologies.
Exactly that. Like, and that's why, for example, they will use, these groups will use the backward swastika. It's because that represents a specific type of neo-Nazism. Your average skinhead, Doc Martens, bleached jeans skinhead back in the day is going to use the Celtic cross type of iconography, the normal swastika iconography, the backwards swastika, for example. Immediately tells whoever sees that, this is a completely different kind, occult Nazism, and this is for you. You know, if that's for you, you go for that. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot to be said in the symbol, right?
Yeah, and so there's a really interesting appendix in the 666th edition of Siege called The 21st Century of Siege, and it's maybe 30 or 40 pages, full color printouts of propaganda photos or propaganda images produced by Dark Foreigner that shows the communication of ideas and allegiances through the repetition of symbology. So there's 20 pages of essentially propaganda posters that show how all these different groups use and repurpose and borrow one another's iconography in order to signal to one another that they are part of this one, what you might call like transnational or supranational neo-fascist accelerationist network.
Absolutely, yeah. Has Order of, I know at the minute Order of Nine Angles is kind of, I mean, it's difficult to know who's running their website at the minute, or like who's running their various kind of semi-official communication methods. But do we know what O9A, as it stands, has said about like NSO9A, if anything?
I've not seen any statements, no.
No, I haven't.
The most recent statement that I saw, which it's not really related to NSO9A at all, but it just kind of made me laugh was they endorsed, here in the United States, they endorsed Joe Biden and Kamala Harris for the next, the 2024 election, which seems kind of ridiculous and, you know, liberal of the Order of Nine Angles. But they basically endorsed Harris and Biden as, you know, the candidates that are most likely to cause the collapse of the West. And so for you know, that's the theory of accelerationism.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't imagine their endorsement comes from a place of neoliberalism, as it probably would from another organization. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, it is pretty funny. I think they did that before with Trump as well, something similar, arguing that he would bring about like so much chaos that, you know, it would help America collapse and in turn the rest of the world. But yeah, everything's still kind of as it is, I guess, although things do look like very messy.
Yes, they do.
If there's anything you want people to read, or if there's a way for people to contact you about your work, where can they do it?
Yeah, I'm a little hesitant to give out my contact information on a podcast, but if somebody wants to get in contact with me, is it okay if they reach out to you, like DM on your Patreon? And you
there's no way I'm directing anybody to anything. I just got way too much shit to do, man. Tell them where they can you can find your work instead.
Yeah, okay. So my article is called Toward the Galactic Imperium, The Order of Nine Angles, Cosmic Accelerationism, and the Occult Politics of Neo-Fascism. It's coming out later this year in the Journal for the Study of Radicalism. I guess maybe LinkedIn is the best place that somebody can reach out to me. I mean, my name will be on that article. They can just find me on LinkedIn from there. How about that?
LinkedIn, fucking hell. That LinkedIn is the most fucking crazy, like Rosemary's Baby style social media I've ever seen. Like everyone on there looks like they're like one bad day away from absolute going haywire. It's such a weird fucking demonic place, but it's a good place to find you, right, if they need to?
Yes, the demonic LinkedIn is the best place for people to find me if they want to reach out and talk to me about my research on esoteric neo-Nazism.
How about we add you to the Discord, the Popular Front Discord, and then people can chat to you there if they want to?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, we'll do that. So anyone that's hearing this will have access to the Discord, I think. Or, well, I don't know. I can't remember what tier I fucking put this on, actually. But anyway, the $10 tier, if you got, you'll get access to the Discord. And we'll put Andrew in there as a guest. And if you want to hit him up, you can do it anytime.
Okay.
Perfect.
That sounds good. Yeah.
That was Skeleton Key, a Popular Front project focused on contemporary far-right militant groups. Music by Sam Black, sound mix by Splicing Block. If you pirated this episode, alright, but please consider supporting at patreon.com/popularfront. We are entirely independent, grassroots conflict journalism. No one owns us, no one has a single share. We do not take money from bastards.